Welcome back to The Wise Man's Page, the daily podcast where we read Patrick Rothfuss's The Wise Man's Fear page by page. This is page 274. Oh, I continued to watch the stars for a while, wondering what. Nothing in particular, he said. Ebro's called you Ruh a couple of times, but he's called you other insulting things before. It's not an insult, I said. I mean, he's called you things that weren't true, Sim said quickly. You don't talk about your family, but you've said things that made me wonder. He shrugged, still flat on his back, looking up at the stars. I've never known one of the Edema. Not well, anyway. What you hear isn't true, I said. We don't steal children or worship dark gods or anything like that. I never believed any of that, he said dismissively, then added, but some of the things they say must be true. I've never heard anyone play like you. That doesn't have anything to do with my being Edema Ruh, I said, then reconsidered. Maybe a little. Do you dance? Willem asked, seemingly out of the blue. If the comment had come from anyone else, or at a different time, it probably would have started a fight. That's just how people picture us, playing pipes and fiddles, dancing around our campfires, when we aren't stealing everything that isn't nailed down, of course. A little bitterness crept into my tone when I said the last. That's not what being Edema Ruh is about. What is it about? Simon asked. I thought about it for a moment, but my sodden wit wasn't up to the task. We're just people, really, I said eventually, except we don't stay in one place very long, and everyone hates us. The three of us watched the stars quietly. Did she really make him sleep under the wagon? Simon asked. What? You said your mom made your dad sleep under the wagon for singing the verse about the sheep. Did she really? It's mostly a figure of speech, I said, but once she really did. I didn't often think of my early life in my troop, back when my parents were alive. I avoided the subject the same way a cripple learns to keep the weight off an injured leg. But Sim's question brought a memory bubbling to the surface of my mind. It wasn't for singing Tinker Tanner, I found myself saying. It was a song he'd written about her. I was quiet for a long moment. Then I said it. Lorien. It was the first time I'd said my mother's name in years. The first time since she'd been killed. It felt strange in my mouth. Then, without really meaning to, I began to sing. That's the page. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Jordana.
That's how the song goes? Wow.
And that's Nick.
And that's the way the song goes. You'll have to wait until tomorrow to find out how it goes.
This is one of my favorite bits. And there's so much I want to talk about the song, but I think we'll wait until the song is actually on the page. On this page, we can talk a bit about how this is when Quoth's friends finally get to broach the difficult conversation they've probably been dreading having, where they try to gracefully tease out to what extent he actually is Edema Ruh without him getting upset with them.
And also, like, his family, right? Like, who he also doesn't talk about. And I'm sure that absence has been noticeable to them. Like, he never talks about his family at all.
Yeah, probably. It also gives us a rare glimpse into how other people view the Ruh. We are told by Quoth a lot that people think this and that about them, but we don't get a lot of perspective on what people actually think or what individuals actually think. Like, we're told that broadly there is this prejudice against them and people think that they're thieves and whatnot. And we have a few anecdotes from when Quoth was a kid and when they had to make quick exits here and there, but just people on the street being asked about them, this is a bit of good information, I think.
Well, what are we really getting from Sim here, though? Because Quoth is still making a lot of the statements, and Sim, the one thing that he said, Sim's like, I didn't believe any of that, which tells us that, like, those are things that other people say to an extent, but we don't really know. Because Sim is not saying, these are things I thought, are they true? Sim is not saying what he knows or doesn't know. Quoth is just saying, this is what people think. This is what you probably think.
The fact that Simon doesn't believe these things that Quoth is saying shows us that he just has a different kind of prejudice. It's the difference between the way that Republicans are racist and Democrats are racist. Simon is the get out dad in this scenario. He's like, he thinks he's not being racist by saying, I never believed any of that stuff that's obviously bullshit that, like, stupid poor people believe about the Edema Ruh. He and Will do seem to think that, like, oh, well, they probably spend a lot of time dancing and singing because they're good at music. That's not a negative stereotype necessarily, but it's still a stereotype that's not kind.
I don't know that that's necessarily how it's put on the page here, though, because he is asking him if he dances. Sure. But we are reading into it a lot. Like, there's a lot that isn't on the page that we've read into it. Because if you think about it, if someone performs, there are a lot of different performances. The same way that, like, I might think that someone who performs, like, as an actor may also perform in dance or music. And without asking them, I'm not going to know. But it makes sense because as a performer, you might appreciate performing in other means.
But look how Kvothe reacts.
This is like me asking a Roma, like, can you tell my fortune?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not saying, like, you're a Roma, therefore you must be a thief. But it is assuming something about their culture that's based in a stereotype. It's like asking, like, an Asian person, like, do you know Kung Fu?
Right. Okay. So what's not on the page here that we're meant to already know is that people broadly already think that they dance while they play?
Yeah, I don't know that we're meant to know it, but we're meant to take from Kvothe's reaction that this is a prejudiced thing to ask. That, like, okay, all they know about the Ra is that they are thieves or that they play music. That's all they think they know of the Ra.
Yeah. Right?
And, like, their lives consist entirely of either, you know, thieving or prancing around a fire, playing music and you know, dancing a jig.
The same way that I might assume that the life of a Roma person is spent traveling from town to town, getting into boxing fights with Brad Pitt and, like, telling people's fortunes and stealing stuff. And the thing about those kinds of cultural stereotypes is that they're, like, they're based in some kind of truth. It's exaggerated and simplified down to, like, this is what all of these people are like, rather than, like, this is something that might happen in this culture at certain times with certain people.
Right, so, like, at some point, someone saw two Ra dancing near a fire and was just like, ah, they must all do that.
I mean, I don't know necessarily that it's that direct, but certainly they are an artistic people and they make their living doing art, so they probably do practice their art in their own time, in their own way. That may involve, you know, sitting around a fire because they are peripatetic and they cook over an open fire, but I don't think that is the entirety of their life, and I don't think that specifically happens. I also think it's important to point out that this is another example of facts turning into a story that then in turn influence people's understanding of a truth. This is perhaps a different version of it, but it is a version of it, right? Like, the narrative around the Ra, or the narrative around real life prejudices that are based on cultural groups, are in a way a sort of story that people take as truth. Don't you think that's a resonant idea for a book about how facts turn into stories that become truth?
Yes.
Certainly something to think on.
And this is also just, like, a good fictional illustration of the different kinds of stereotypes and prejudices that even well-meaning people who, like, don't think that they're racist can have. I don't think that Sim or Will are racist, but they have grown up with these, like, mistaken, well, stereotypical beliefs.
This is maybe as good a time as any to point out that racism isn't doing and thinking bad things. Racism is the systemic programming that we don't question. So Sim and Will they harbor racism. That doesn't mean they are racists, but certainly they're
affected by the society that they live in.
Exactly. And even Kvothe has some racism in him. And they talk about that a bit more on the next page. It becomes less about racism and more about just, like, a cultural exchange. I think it's important to say as often and as loudly as possible that racism isn't a binary. It's not like you're a racist or you're not. Everybody has racism. And I don't mean that in the way that Avenue Q song means it. I mean that racism is something that has permeated the culture. And you have to work hard to examine the ways that it has affected you. But it's not a yes or no situation.
Mm-hmm. So Sim and Will, like, as much as they're showing a prejudice here in a way, more so on Simon's account, they're also just trying to understand their friend better, which I think is a good thing to do if you are a friend. Like, to be able to understand them better, I think, like, knowing a little more about them is a perfectly reasonable thing to do.
For sure, but it's still a hard conversation to have, especially with someone as prickly as Kvothe.
Sure, but I think it's better that they have it than that they completely avoid it, because it will build their friendship.
Just, like, as a well-meaning member of the dominant cultural hegemon, it can be tricky to know how to ask these questions without being rude.
Yes, that sounds reasonable. Sim and Will are taking a moment to get to know their friend better, which is also kind of a nice thing. Other things are also happening at the same time, but there is also a nice thing happening here.
Yeah, absolutely. This conversation is coming from a good place. And Quoth says, you know, if another person had asked me this at a different time, I would have been mad about it. But because these are like my two closest friends in the world, and because we're all a bit drunk, his guard is down and he's like more willing to have that conversation.
Yes.
Good talk. I think this page is well plumbed. Anything else you want to add?
I'm all done for notes.
Well, in the interest of brevity, we have decided to forego letters this week. So please write us some letters. Stock up the mailbag.
Mm-hmm. And we will peach them tomorrow.
On yet another page
of
the
Wind!